The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, in some breaking news, Lebanon and Israel have agreed a ceasefire. Donald Trump has said this on his Truth Social that Lebanon and Israel have agreed to a 10-day ceasefire coming into effect at 10 p.m. our time this evening. And for more on this, I'm joined by Rhea Jalabi, Middle East correspondent with the Financial Times. Good evening to you, Rhea. You are in Lebanon currently, is that correct?
Yes, I'm in Beirut.
And have you heard anything additional to what we're hearing now on Truth Social, that, a ceasefire will come into effect later on this evening?
Well, for the last 24 hours, we've been thrown in all sorts of different directions by Lebanese and Israeli officials as we've been trying to confirm these reports. But it does look like it's coming into effect. We have heard mixed things from Lebanese officials about what exactly it will entail. But so far, all we know is that there's some kind of cessation of hostilities or a de-escalation of strikes, as some Lebanese officials have described it. And that is, as Donald Trump has just said, it should take about 10 days. It should take effect for about 10 days.
Okay, which actually would run longer than the remaining time left on the ceasefire between Iran and the US, which is, of course, next Wednesday, the 22nd of April. Lebanon has been a sticking point in negotiations between Iran and the US. Do you think that this ceasefire, this parallel ceasefire, could pave the way to a broader, I suppose, peace agreement in the region now?
It's certainly one of the main conditions that Iran had laid on the table. And throughout the entire process, Lebanon was repeatedly referred to as one of the key conditions that Iran would need to make any kind of broader arrangement. So I think Washington clearly bore down on the Israelis to come to some kind of agreement in Lebanon, because the Americans are keen to get a deal done in Iran.
Raya, of course, this agreement, we believe, is between Lebanon's President Joseph Aoun and Benjamin Netanyahu, the first time that there has been any kind of negotiation directly between them in 34 years. But Hezbollah, will Hezbollah agree to this? Because Lebanon had and the Lebanese powers and administrations have something of a fractious relationship with Hezbollah.
Yeah, it's a good question. And actually, I would clarify to say that it's not entirely clear that the arrangement, that there were any kind of negotiations that happened between Lebanon and Israel directly. From what we understand, the deal was told to them by Washington. So we're not sure that there were any direct conversations, no direct talk specifically regarding this. Of course, on Tuesday, the ambassadors for both of those countries met at the State Department in Washington. But those talks were completely separate to this conversation about a ceasefire. So with that in mind, the Lebanese state doesn't have any control over Hezbollah. Right. So that fundamentally, it'll come down to whether or not Hezbollah wants to participate. But ultimately, Iran is a key player in all this. Mm-hmm. Iran and Hezbollah, Iran is Hezbollah's main patron. So if Iran tells them to follow through, then they will.
So Iran was looking for a ceasefire here. Israel looks like they've agreed to it. So as you say, Lebanon may not be in charge of Hezbollah, but Iran is, to some extent, it's probably its most important proxy, some extent is. So there is some cause for optimism here.
There is, definitely. I think the key question was whether or not Israel was going to abide by any kind of agreement that the US imposes on it. And it's seeing as they've announced, well, Donald Trump has just announced it. We have to wait and see what the Israeli reaction will be. But presumably they will have agreed to this. So, yes, I think there is cause for optimism.
In broader terms, stepping back just from the Lebanese situation, the Strait of Hormuz, of course, is still a sticking point, the double blockade that it is under now. In the local region, obviously, Iran has said that if the Americans don't remove their blockade, they see that as tantamount to a breaking of the ceasefire, and that they will stop all oil going out and indeed see other Gulf nations potentially as targets should the ceasefire collapse. What are people saying there at the moment about all of that? And I suppose, I mean, everyone is hopeful for peace. But in terms of what will happen in the Strait of Hormuz, what's your read of the situation?
It's entirely unclear what the arrangement is going to be going forward, but what's clear is that Iran has gained a lot of leverage in these negotiations following this war. I mean, Iran has effectively brokered a situation in which it gets to determine the fate of the Strait of Hormuz, and the Americans are very keen for a deal. I mean, I think Iran thinks it can wait this out a lot longer than America can when it comes to the impact on the global economy. Mm-hmm. So going forward, I think there's a lot of fear, especially in the Gulf, that the Iranians will retain some kind of control over the Strait and be able to impose some kind of tax on ships going through it. I don't think it's off the table that there's some kind of arrangement, even if it's a joint arrangement, that could happen.
The Iranians, in effect, do have control over the state, of course, and they have demonstrated that quite clearly. The Situation on the ground in Beirut, obviously under heavy bombardment, 1 million people displaced currently in Lebanon, over 2,000 people killed. How bad is it there, and the rebuild that needs to happen now in terms of a humanitarian situation? What's going on the ground?
The humanitarian situation has been a catastrophe from the first day of this war. And don't forget that you already had a war that took place between Israel and Hezbollah in 2024 that effectively destroyed swathes of the country. So you already have destruction upon destruction at this point, and reconstruction is going to be a really, really difficult task ahead, especially because the country is broke. So we'll have to wait and see to see if there's going to be any Western support for any kind of reconstruction that happens here, because as happened last time, a lot of the aid that was promised to Lebanon was contingent upon the Lebanese government doing anything against Hezbollah. So considering that we're still in the same situation and Hezbollah is perhaps even stronger than it was in 2024, we'll have to see if any states are going to give Lebanon aid for reconstruction. And it's important to note that so many villages have been destroyed in southern Lebanon, and it's very unclear, even if there is a ceasefire, if Israel's going to even consider withdrawing from the sort of 10-kilometer band that it's occupying in southern Lebanon now. So you have up to 200,000 people who aren't going to be able to return home if that's the case. Where are those people going to go? We don't know.
Yeah, the so-called buffer zone, although this is a sort of a green shoot of hope here, I suppose, this putative ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon, that breaking news. Thank you very much for joining us. That is Rhea Jalabi there, Middle East correspondent with the Financial Times.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.